listening to a download from the outdoorstation.co.uk.
Number 287.
Hello everybody and welcome back to another podcast at the Outdoor Station. And yes, we have been very remiss. Hands up, it's a fair cop, Gov. This is the first one of 2010, and we've been taking a bit of a break for numerous little reasons, really. We've been very, very busy with the website, trying to rebuild the website and do various things like that, as well as sort new products out for the forthcoming season. And being buried in our little place, our little office covered in snow, has made us feel a little bit like hermits. And with the sunshine out today and odd days of the last week or so, it's starting to make us feel a little bit more spring-like and ready to launch ourselves upon the world once again. So this is number 287, and we're getting closer and closer to 300. To be honest, I've just been suffering from a bit of pod fade, as they called it, the technical term. I've been producing quite a few of these, and just around Christmas time, just ran out of steam, to be honest. We have been lining up all sorts of exciting things to entertain you with and inform you with about various events taking place, products coming out, interviews with people doing things. And listen to this. This is my little list forthcoming over the next week or so I'm going to be doing. I've got the destination show to go to and the outdoor show up at the NEC. So there's going to be various interviews there with people either visiting the show or displaying their goods or services. We've got, of course, there's a couple of bushcraft shows coming up. There's the Outdoors Challenge. There's going to be various things involved with that. There's numerous trade fairs throughout the beginning part and summer part of the year. And then we've got some really, really interesting interviews. I'm particularly looking forward to going and interviewing a couple of guys at the moment who are living in the woods, and they are troubadours, and they're singing their way around Britain on foot. It's a fascinating story, and I've picked up various details about them from the national press and websites and so on. And I think it'll be very interesting on numerous levels, partly entertainment, partly experience on how they're actually getting by, and also to question ourselves and our mindsets these days, relying on technology and modern life. So I think that'll be quite an interesting one. We're also, I'm lining up to do an interview with a guy who is very known, very well known on the waterways as being a great nature lover, and he's got plenty of information to tell you about the history of some of the waterways and also some of the plants and creatures that associate with it. So that'll be coming later on as well. I'm also soon talking to a guy who's attempting a world record at running from Land's End to John O'Groats. That's forthcoming, and I'm hoping that he's going to be passing by here at some stage, and I'm going to try and join him for about 100 yards or 200 yards or 200 metres and have a quick conversation with him and wish him well. So some support there perhaps would be of interest to people. And what else? We've got a group of guys who are about to head off and do the Marathon de Sable, and they're doing that for charity. So I'll be speaking to them very soon, seeing how their training's been going, what they're looking forward to, and obviously having a discussion about kit. So there's lots of things lined up to do, so I'm trying to make up for the fact that we haven't been around for the last couple of months, and fill your earbuds full of entertainment, information and inspiration. Now, talking of which, recently, locally here in Malvern, my local running group, the Malvern Joggers, have organised themselves to do some support for the disaster relief at Haiti. And one of the people concerned, Steve Ollis, has organised an event, which we attended at the weekend, to raise money for Haiti. So we went along, joined in, and recorded a piece with Steve, and here it is, unfolding on the day.
Yeah, it's really all about raising money for Haiti. I'd see some footage on the BBC about a girl who was dragged out of the rubble 2 weeks after the earthquake, and they said on the footage that all she had on was her dress, and all her family were dead. So it just triggered me to think, well, you know, I've got to do something more than just throw some money into a bucket or, you know, give online. And so I organised this to raise money for Haiti, and in particular, it was to raise enough money to buy two shelter boxes, which are these things that you can send out to Haiti, and it basically helps a family or 10 people to survive for 6 months.
And so what actually are we doing today then to contribute?
Basically today it's a 10-hour marathon relay, and it's running half an hour legs, and I've just asked people to turn up on the day and give as much money as possible, minimum of £10. And it's to run from the Chase Inn in Upper Coalwall to go up to the top of the Worcester Beacon and back again.
And what's that in actual figures as regards height and distance?
It's probably about 600 metres or 600 feet, I'm not sure which. I think it might be feet climb and up and down, and distance-wise it's about 2.85 miles.
Just approximately.
Yeah, just approximately. That's a sad man I am, because I'm a runner and I've got a Garmin, so I can measure these things exactly. So
good. Well, I mean, it's almost 11 o'clock now. We're going off the 11 o'clock leg. How many people have you sort of got involved today?
It was as of bedtime last night, which ended up being about half midnight, I had 94, and I think the way it's going is well over 100 now. So
well done. So you've raised well over £1,000 then.
Well, you know, that's the way it will be going. You know, if everybody turns up who said they'll turn up and contributes what I'd like them to contribute, that's what it'll be. But the nice thing is, seeing as it's not even 11 o'clock yet, and we've done over £600 done.
Yeah.
Well done. Over £600 already. So
excellent.
I'm looking for a very good total now.
Excellent. Well, I'm sure people can find out more details if they look on the malvernjoggers.co.uk website when it's all over.
Yep. That's where it will be. We've got a blog going that comes out every week and gets put on the website. So yeah, if everybody keeps an eye on that, and hopefully it will be in the local Malvern Gazette as well.
Excellent. Well, I'll go and pick my baton up and get ready to go.
Okay. Thanks very much. All right.
Do you know where the flag is, Stu?
Yes, he's got it.
So perhaps swap it on the way back.
Okay.
Up.
And,
who's on
the flag?
Well done.
Do you have a flag? No, we're taking several
nice
pictures.
So you're going to need to flag Routy.
Okay. Bradley's got it.
It's a big flag. Bradley's got it. It strangled you.
Thank you.
It's all for the cause. Okay, guys, so we've got 1, 2, 3... One, two, three, four, five. Are you going? Are you ready?
Ready.
Off you go.
Right.
Well done.
See you in a bit.
You know I wanted to do it again.
Come on then.
Hi, Dave. Nice to see you.
It all seems very civilised, the first 100 metres, doesn't it? And then you hit the first climb. Well done, everybody. We're at the top. Gordon Bennett. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. That was a very steady pace you guys were doing. Are you all doing marathon this year?
No.
Oh, it's most upsetting. What's the height?
1495 feet, I think.
1495 feet?
Something like that.
Oh, well. Quick jog back down then.
Yeah, that's easy.
Not to worry. On the way down then.
My name's Sean Jones.
Hi, Sean. Well, first of all, congratulations, Sean, getting to the top.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Are you going to do it again?
No, I'm just doing it once today. It's hard going, but I'm pleased to be able to be part of the effort and, you know, help in any way that I can.
Well, it's turned out to be a fine day. The weather forecast wasn't good last night, was it?
It was dreadful. I was wondering how it would work out. I thought it might snow and hail and be very gusty, but actually it's ideal running conditions. It's not too windy. A bit of a cool breeze to help keep us a bit cooler during the run.
Yes, well, I certainly felt a bit of a... bit of a heart-pounding moment getting going, first of all, on Sunday morning.
Absolutely. But the spirit is good, everybody's enjoying it, and, you know, working all towards the effort of racing.
Final goal, yeah. Yes. And surprisingly enough, Steve says we're only 3 minutes over time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're downhill, so we can make that up, I'm sure.
Excellent. Well, I'll leave us both to keep pounding the streets to get back down to the start line.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Get long. And that's it. Finished.
Well done,
guys. Oh, thank you. Oh, well done, girls. Well done, Russ. Well, I've just finished down, and obviously time's gone well. I gather we're still on time.
Yeah, it's I'm actually amazed by it. We're kind of like, you know, considering some of the people we've got running today, you know, different capabilities, but you know, it's we're pretty well, probably 5-10 minutes off.
And do I notice a family group's going to go up next?
Yeah, we've got we've actually got two family groups going in the next hour. Probably the biggest one is going to be. The biggest one's going to be next. Probably two or three families going, and then probably just the one family after that. So, you know, it's everybody's taking part.
Yeah, that's really good, and everybody seems to be very positive about the way they're doing it as well. I noticed you've got quite a few helpers on the way up and on the way down. What's that all about?
Well, basically, what this event really is, it's a joint effort between the Malvern Joggers, who are a local running club, and the Rotary Club of Colwall. We put some sort of feelers out when we were organising this event, and the Rotary Club came in and they quite happily said, you know, we'll be very happy to supply marshals, supply the people to shake some boxes and help you get some more money in. So it has been absolutely fantastic.
Brilliant. And I just heard the bell go and somebody shout £700. So it's going up all the time.
Up all the time, yeah. I'm absolutely astounded by how it's going. You know, like my target personally, right from the very start, was £1,000. But, you know, £700 at 11:30 means that we've got £700 in 3.5 hours, which is fantastic.
And you're expecting many, many more people this afternoon, you're telling me?
Yeah. I reckon we've probably done about a third of the people so far. So, big numbers this afternoon. So it's going to get a bit hectic, a bit scary, but, you know, I think it's going to be a nice atmosphere towards the end.
Good. And you're on the last leg, I understand, as well, yeah?
Unfortunately, you know, a few weeks ago I picked up an injury myself in both legs, but, you know, I wasn't going to run at all, but it's one of those things, you know, even if it means me going up to the beacon, you know, on my hands and knees.
You'll do it.
I'll do it.
Excellent. Well, for people who want to know exactly what the final total is, obviously log on to the website, which is malvernjoggers.co.uk, and I'm sure there'll be the stories and the pictures and all the various things that happened during the day. So congratulations, Steve. Well done, and have a good day.
Thank you very much, Bob. Really nice to speak to you. Today is your day. The sun is shining for you. You got lucky. Don't stop racing.
listening to the award-winning UK Business Podcaster of the Year. This is the Outdoor Station.
As many faithful listeners will know from our audience of just over a million now, we started doing these podcasts back in 2005, and we're up to almost 300. Now, we first started concentrating on the lightweight outdoor activities industry, if you like, lightweight backpacking and so on. And we thought it was possibly about time we sort of got back to our roots. So I'm hoping towards the 300th, based on suggestions from many of our listeners who have emailed in, that to actually catch up with some of the people we spoke to very, very early on and see how the international lightweight outdoor community has developed in those 5 years. Now, with that in mind, 2010 has seen a launch of a variety of new products. And so what I did just recently was gather them all together and go for a walk on a very, very cold late winter's night and discuss some of the products. So here's me wandering up a hill of late with some new products, and they are the new Vaude Power Lizard tent, the GoLite Peak, the GoLite Three Season Quilt, the NeoAir Short, and what else? I think that was about it. And the Montane Halo Jacket. Now, they don't get a heavy workout, but I thought it'd be quite nice to put all that into a bag, see how much it weighed, and then set off for the evening.
Well, it's a beautiful, crisp, moonlit night here at the beginning of March 2010. And I've decided it's about time I did a quick wild camp overnight trip using some of this year's products, I suppose, just to see how light it can be off the shelf without trying to do anything too spectacular, and see if we can stay warm and toasty. As I say, it's almost a full moon, so I'm not even using my head torch as I climb up these local hills. There are plenty of stars out, and sure enough, the weather forecast implies that it's going to be around -2 tonight, and probably thereabouts, or a bit cooler on the top when I eventually get there. So what am I taking with me? Well, just recently I've taken delivery of the new Vaude Power Lizard lightweight tent, which comes in at around a kilo, two-person tent, ideally a really roomy one-person tent and two to squeeze, but there's certainly plenty of space in there for adventure racers. And I've put it up at home a few times. It looks very, very stable and interesting, so that's my tent for the night. I'm using a NeoAir, a short NeoAir, as my sleeping mat. I've got the GoLite Three Season Quilt as my sleeping system with a liner. What else have I got? I've just got a little 100 gas cartridge with a little cooker to have a brew. That's about it, really. I'm sort of wearing my normal walking clothes, two or three layers, and two layers and a waterproof, the Montane Halo, which has certainly become quite a favourite of mine, actually. Waterproof jacket, and some Innovates, and basically the rucksack and contents. I'm using a GoLite Peak rucksack, which is compressed down at the bottom. It's not even half full. And I've got my favourite Clattermousse and down jacket as well. And the whole lot comes in at under 5 kilos. There's not a vast amount of any other items I'd probably take with me, really, if I was doing a longer trip. Change of clothes, perhaps. Wash kit. I've got a first aid kit as well. And that's about it, really. So, oops, trip heavy branches. Yeah, so it's under 5 kilos. We'll see what the tent's like to pitch in the dark on unknown territory. And we'll settle down for the evening. See if there's any local wildlife, which I imagine there's plenty of rabbits up here. And switch back on when I've put the tent up and I've got inside and got a hot chocolate going. Well, best part of an hour's walking and we're sort of at the top really, where I'm hoping to find a levelish spot to pitch up. It's fairly exposed, surrounded by the tree line either side of me. The stars are almost as bright as the distant lights of habitation a few miles away. It is a very, very still night, and I'm sure it's going to be a cold one as well. But at the moment, I'm just rubbing my hands together to keep warm, and keeping moving is keeping me going as well. So really, I'm just going to start a scan around now for a decent spot. It's fairly soft underfoot, so it should be fairly comfortable. There's certainly plenty of evidence of rabbits and sheep. So it's that kind of upper pasture land, I suppose. And, of course, what I'm doing is actually technically illegal. It's wild camping, and you're not supposed to camp in these sort of places. But it's gone 10 o'clock at night, and hopefully I'll be gone before 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, so long before any of the dog walkers or other such leisure walkers appear. But the moon is incredibly bright. I could probably put the tent up with just moonlight alone. Anyway, I'm going to scan around now and try and find a decent spot, and then we'll see how well the power lizard goes up. Well, that's the tent up. It's quite a good test, this, actually, because it's not dead flat. As usual, the flattest ground is actually just off the path, or virtually on the path itself. But I've got it up. Just got to adjust this inner tension band. That really does make that crossbar very, very rigid. But there's a good frost on the ground already. It's quite cool, and there are a lot of frost crystals around me as I'm kneeling and so on, sorting this out. It's only taken about 5 or 10 minutes to put the tent up, and it feels pretty solid. Staring up at the plough at the moment, looking up at Cassiopeia, looking for the North Star. But it's a very, very calm night, indeed, and quite eerie to be up here on your own. So give me a few minutes and I'll get myself sorted in the tent, and we'll have another catch-up with what I'm doing. Get that in there. 12 good man-sized puffs for all of those. Yes, I'm in. I'm here and I'm sitting quite happily. My head's just touching the roof, which isn't bad when you consider it, really. I'm 6'2" and I'm sitting on a mat, and my head's just brushing the roof, which is perfectly acceptable. I can certainly get changed in this. The width is, I'd say not quite as wide if you had two good old-fashioned roll mats. You'd have to slice about 6 inches off it, but that's certainly plenty enough for two people to lie down. And as I've already found, I'm 6'2" and I've got plenty of space in here, so I'm quite looking forward to this. Anyway, I'm going to unpack all my other bits and bobs and get into my down jacket and throw the sleeping bag over me and get a hot chocolate, and I'll get my hip flask out. Rosie did say, why not take a hip flask? And I thought, what a flipping good idea that is, especially on the night tonight. So a bit of hot chocolate and whiskey will go down a treat. So give me a couple of minutes and I'll be sorted. Stupidly, I forgot the feet for the gas canister, so it's thankfully found a flat enough piece of ground. And I'm cooking in the vestibule of the power lizard. Now, somebody asked me the other day whether it's big enough for a caldera cone. It's certainly big enough for a caldera cone, but from the amount of heat that it gives off when it collects it and comes out the top, because there's no upper venting
on the zip of the actual entrance to the Power Lizard. You have to sort of prop the door open, I would think. I'd be a bit nervous about a meth stove in here, I must admit, because they can be very, very fierce, particularly something like the white box. So I'd probably want to unclip the ground sheet and pull that back. And it looks fairly easy to actually get the inner tent out should you want to separate the two, which is quite useful. But this vestibule area is actually plenty big enough for rucksack and shoes. But I don't need to use it because the tent itself is so flipping big. I'm in my quilt. I must admit, I've started to really get into these quilts now. It's amazing just how small they're compact down and still give you a vast amount of insulation. And I've shoved the Neo Air short into the straps, as it were, and I've just crawled into it with all my clothes because I'm dry anyway, so that's reasonable. I don't need to really use a sleeping sheet tonight. And I've got my feet resting on that inflatable Thermarest seat that I was using earlier on. The rest of my body is on the Neo Air, and at my head end I've got plenty of space. I've got space for a 65-litre rucksack here. Vast amount of space, so much so that if I use the rucksack as I would do normally for a pillow, it won't be long before it disappears off and I'm forever pulling it back. So I'm quite impressed with the amount of space here. Certainly very toasty now, with my down jacket on and inside here, and you can probably hear the wildlife hooting. I think it must be mating time for the owls or something, because there's plenty of those calling to each other, or they're a bit upset that I'm in their spot, I suppose. Anyway, I've got the gas going, as you can hear, and I've got my whiskey and my lovely little GSI hip flask, which is just right for the job, and I'm going to be sorted shortly. I don't think there's an awful lot more to say, really, apart from, I'll give you a sort of review in the morning what the night's sleep was like, but I think I'm going to be perfectly warm, even though it's frosty. Not much wind, although just starting to move a bit of the material outside, but I don't think there's much wind tonight, but it's certainly going to be cold. And I'll see how everything else performs. But really not a vast amount to report, apart from I'm sorted. And we all know what that's like when you're sorted. Sort of great feeling of contentment washes over you. Anyway, so night, everyone, and I'll catch up at some stage in the morning. Oh, and the water's just coming to a boil as well. Perfect timing. Fantastic. And there you can hear the early morning sounds of the nighttime owls and the early morning chorus. It's just gone six. I can just see the moon. It's just starting to head down towards the horizon. On the other side of the hill, the early morning deep red glow of pre-dawn. And nature is celebrating it with its usual chorus, which is one of my favourite sounds in the world. My goodness me, it was cold last night. I've just got out for a stretch of my legs this morning, and the Power Lizard is completely covered in thick frost and ice. But we survived, and in fact the tent's still nice and taut, and there's nothing... Nothing's moved as such. There's been no wind during the night, so it's been very, very still. So naturally, there's been a build-up of condensation in there. But I can't say I was super toasty last night because it was. I couldn't really move. Once you're in a top bag, you are trapped in it. So when you turn over, the bag doesn't turn with you. You turn inside the bag. But I only woke two or three times, so not the end of the world. But certainly dawn is looming upon me now, and as I say, a very, very heavy frost. So I'm now going to organise my second favourite sound in the morning, which is an early morning brew, and that'll warm me through, and I'll pack up and head back down to the car and tootle off home. But yes, a very refreshing night, and in fact it's a darn sight warmer in the tent than it is out here, so I'm going to get back inside and get that brew on. Well, it's just before seven and I've broken camp, cleared away any evidence of staying over,
and I'm heading on the way back down. It is a bitter morning. My fingers are so numb that it's very, very difficult to press the buttons on the recorder. So I'm desperately trying to warm up, and now I've taken the tent down. The reason my hands got so cold is because the tent was covered in frost and ice. And as you know, when you pack away a tent that's like that, it's inevitable your hands get cold. I suppose that's the only thing with something like the Power Lizard, and the same with the competition and perhaps the Photon and so on, is that in conditions like that, when you have got such a wet tent or a frosty tent, there's no easy way to pack it. It's not like a normal tent you can separate the two parts. You can on this one, like all the others, but you don't tend to because it's more inconvenient when you're cold or it's soaking wet, obviously. So it's a case of stuff it in the bag as best you can and then hope to dry it out before you set up camp next time. Certainly I know a few people have got competitions and so on, and that's all they seem to do, really, is just hope for the best and be able to stop at some stage during a walk and dry it out. But that's not bad, really, when you consider it's a sub-5-kilo bag, excluding food and water, which I had to bring my own water up here. And that's pretty well what I'd take on a walk, a long-distance walk, apart from a change of clothes. I mean, I've got everything else that I'd normally take with me. Change of clothes and food. So it's definitely down into the lightweight or super-lightweight category. I suppose there's two or three categories, below 15k, below 10k, and then sort of below 5k. But makes for very, very easy carrying, and I could just jog along quite happily with this weight on my back now and not really be troubled by it. So it's certainly the way to go if you want to have an enjoyable walk. And here we are up first thing in the morning with the birds and the dawn, and the sun is just creeping over the horizon, a great red globe bursting forth, and it just makes you feel good. That's one with the world, away from computers and all the other things that seem to trap us down. Anyway, that's my little jaunt, a little test of the Power Wizard, mini review of the GoLite three-season top bag, the Neo Air. Thank goodness for the Neo Air, I have to say. You would not believe just how much warmer it is than the ProLite. Certainly in conditions like this, it was not cold at all, and I was just lying straight on it. I did have all my clothes on inside the bag as well. I just couldn't be bothered taking them off last night. And the temperature did dip at some stage. I did awake with a very, very cold nose. I was very, very grateful for the Neo Air. And certainly the little foot mat underneath my feet made all the difference. In fact, that kept sliding out of the way, so I had to keep pushing that back to keep my feet insulated. But the bag kept me warm enough. But of course, the top bags don't tend to have a hood, so I was wearing hats and a buff as well to keep the heat in my head, which was the most important thing. And the Peak is, just carries it all nicely and there's stacks of space. So very pleasing, and I think I personally would definitely use the Power Lizard on something like the TGO Challenge or any long-distance trip. It's a very, very roomy, comfortable tent for one, and a respectable weight at 1K. Anyway, so that's me signing off, heading down for a bit of a breakfast when I get back home and the sun's up, and turf my warm wife out of a warm bed with my cold hands, and see what rewards I get.
And my reward was a very hard slap. Some people have just got no sense of humour. So that brings us towards the end of number 287. Again, apologies for the delay in bringing this one out, but we hope to get back on track and try and release at least one a week. But it's a big target, especially with a lot of other things going on and the way things are developing generally. Now, of course, you can give us feedback, any ideas, suggestions and so on. You can email us at info@theoutdoorsstation.co.uk. That's info@theoutdoorsstation.co.uk. Or you can call us on our Skype number and leave a message. And if it comes out clear enough and obviously as a contribution to the programme, we'll spin some of the messages messages in. We get quite a few from people with emails, and it is nice to let people know that we are listening to you.
020-8133-9434.
So with that in mind, I'm going to say farewell. Hopefully, let's keep fingers crossed this more pleasant weather lasts longer than anticipated, and we have a really good spring. So you'll be hearing from me soon. Take care out there, and don't forget to get outdoors. Bye for now.
With over a million listeners worldwide, The Outdoor Station is the leading online audio resource for those into the great outdoors.
Podcasts are based solely around self-powered travel. If you walk, run, cycle, paddle, climb, explore or sail, we want to share your adventure, hear your highs and lows, and inspire others to go out and do more.
Online, on demand,
and always available. This is The Outdoor Station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To hear more from our extensive free library, please visit the website at theoutdoorstation.co.uk.
You can now follow The Outdoor Station on Facebook, where we chat about each programme we produce, answer questions and discuss future productions. Why not join us there?
This podcast is produced and hosted by theoutdoorstation.co.uk.